Words on Water. This episode is brought to you by Flowworks. Flowworks is a powerful web-based suite of monitoring, analysis, and reporting tools, enabling you to efficiently manage all of your monitoring systems. Perform real-time analysis, check flow monitoring status, and set alarms through a single interface. Flowworks lets you transform raw data into actionable information. Their platform accepts all types of data from any source: real-time, historic, wireless, satellite, SCADA, public data sets including USGS, NOAA, and weather forecasts. It doesn't matter where the data originates. With their customized cloud storage and machine learning enhanced features, Flowworks has the flexibility and scalability to help you grow your monitoring network and get more value from your data. Visit them online at flowworks.com.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop, and I'm excited for this episode today. We're going to be talking about using big data and machine learning for collection systems, and our guest is Kevin Marsh. He is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Flowworks. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good, Travis. I'm excited to be here too. Thanks.
I'm interested in this issue of wet weather and wondering if you can talk a little bit about why utilities pay so much attention to how stormwater gets into their collection system. You know, that infiltration and inflow. What's going on there?
Yeah. So it's you can't watch the news anymore without knowing that wet weather is a problem, and it's becoming more and more so. Probably a lot of different reasons, and you can go down a lot of different rabbit holes, and they may all be valid. I mean, there's certainly this issue of climate change or climate uncertainty, the increase of storms and the severity of storms and whatnot. Another big piece of this has been, urbanization and suburbanization, where, we're laying down lots of asphalt and concrete, and stormwater can't just soak into soils anymore. They hit these surfaces that run into storm sewers or other places, and we'll talk about that. That's a big problem, and it causes flooding, and it causes dangerous overflows and things of that nature. But ultimately, you mentioned infiltration and inflow. And that's also known as I&I, and that's what I'll be referring to it as, I think, as we do this. But, what happens is that it rains, and a lot of that rainwater, for various reasons, winds up getting into the collection system, into the sanitary sewer.
Uh-huh.
And that's a problem, because once it's in the sanitary sewer, it goes to a treatment plant, and it costs money to treat whatever's in those pipes, and there's generally not a need to treat stormwater. So you're spending a lot of money to treat stormwater when you should just be concentrating on sanitary sewage. It impacts the capacity of these pipes. It basically makes them so that they can't carry as much. You can't develop as many homes or neighborhoods or businesses because all of this stormwater that gets into the system. And then when it gets really nasty, Travis, is when this leads to overflows and mm-hmm. flooding. And so you've got, in some communities, you've got combined sewers. And so you have what's called a combined sewer overflow when things get really nasty with storms. And basically, that means that we're discharging raw sewage into receiving waters. And that could be a local creek or a river or ocean, a bay, an estuary. I mean, these are just places that don't need them. But also sanitary sewer overflows, you can have these as well. And again, it's flooding that, flooding's bad enough, but you start adding the raw sewage component to it, and it's an order of magnitude, more dangerous for people. So yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really, there's environmental and public health issues when you have these overflows. And then with this stormwater volume in the system, it's using up capacity that is better put elsewhere. So what have utilities kind of historically done to address this area, to look at it, to try to lessen the problems?
Yeah, well, there are a number of things that utilities, municipalities do, and a lot of them are informed by the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, and they've got lots of guidance in this area and things that need to be done. And there's, you know, whole areas of engineering practice that have come up around this. But, you know, one of the basic things is that what we've always called in the industry just an I&I study. And, you know, as its name implies, it's going in and doing a study, a short-term study of the collection system and its wet weather response. And this has generally been done by deploying flow meters and rain gauges. Okay? So and flow metering, I've spent most of my career in that. I've been, originally it was Marsh McBurney was my family's company. We manufactured flow meters and went from there to the Hawk company. And so I've been very involved in that pre this big data stuff that I'm involved in now. But anyway, what would happen is the flow meters are put into the sewer system, and rain gauges are either already deployed or maybe they're temporarily deployed. Mm-hmm. And this is usually done in a period of time that it is expected to be a rainy season, where people expect that a storm is going to come. And so you might put these meters and these gauges in for 30 or 60 or 90 days. In fact, sometimes they're put in until X number of storms occur. Maybe it's two storms or three storms. And so you don't know how long they're going to be in. Huh. If you get lucky, you get your storms in a relatively short amount of time. And if you're unlucky, you've got a drought, and this monitoring goes on and on. And so basically you're praying for rain, right? But, so what happens here, though, is that all this data is collected, and let's say you get your rain, you get your storm or your two storms, or your three storms, and then you pull the flow meters and you get data from them. And you look at that data, and, you know, data analysts and engineers analyze that data, and they basically build a report on that data. And they say, you know, this is what we saw. This is the way your collection system responded to these particular storms on these particular dates. And this is information that helps us understand where we need to pay attention to things and how to help remediate that I&I. So that's what's done today. Mm-hmm. And it's being done as we speak. There's probably hundreds of I&I studies being done across the country right now, if not thousands. And this has been playing out for decades.
And just drilling into what that data would show you, it's about, here's how much water got into your system, here's how much of your capacity that used, here's where the water really got into your system, that type of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, okay. Where is it getting in? Trying to isolate, you want to isolate where the problems are in the collection system, and you want to understand, how much storm, ultimately you want to know how much storm water is coming in and where. And it's far more complicated than that. I'm sure. Certainly, you know, we're just scratching the surface of some of these things. But I think for our listeners that know a little bit about this problem, but maybe not a lot, I think that it's enough to just say we need to understand how much stormwater is getting into our collection system and where is it getting in.
You know, that's a pretty labor intensive, time intensive process, I guess. Now we're in this era of technology, right? Where we've got some digital ways to use digital solutions to help us. So I wanted to talk to you about these, about big data and machine learning and how to apply those to collection systems and to this issue. What do you guys have going on? What are the possibilities?
We've been investing heavily in machine learning and advanced data analytics, if you will. And I joined the company 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago, now that I think about it. When I joined, it was because of the promise of machine learning and big data and the investments that this company was going to put into it. So at Flowworks, we've been putting a lot of effort into that, a lot of resources. And basically, our first big product that we're rolling out as we speak is called Infinity I&I. And so, as its name implies, it's an I&I solution, and that fits in nicely to what we're talking about. And so your point's a good one. You know, you said that it's very labor intensive. We talked about the fact that you don't know when it's going to rain, so you put the meters in for a short period of time and pray for rain. There's a lot of data analysis that goes into this. And it turns out a lot of that can be automated. And these are capabilities that have just become possible. And literally 18 months ago, even, you know, maybe 2 years ago, you couldn't do some of the things that I'm talking about right now. And so this is really exciting. So what we would do is that, you know, we sort of say, hey, let's stop this paradigm of just doing a short-term study. Let's go and to a community and let's look at all the data they've been collecting over the years, flow data and rain gauge data. And most communities, most cities, utilities have some kind of permanent monitoring going on. And, okay. and some are more extensive than others, but there's almost always flow data and certainly rain gauge data that's available. And we ask our clients, you know, to give us access to that. We bring that data in, and it could be a year of data, 2 years, 10 years, whatever happens to be available. And then we call it an engine, you know, it's a machine learning engine just to sort of maybe help you think about it. But this engine just tackles all that data. And what machine learning, one of the things that machine learning is all about is tackling large data sets and identifying patterns.
Yeah.
And so what we can do with this data is that we can identify dry weather periods. Okay, so the periods where it's not raining and the system is performing generally as it should. But we can also identify significant storms automatically. Hmm. Now, humans can do this too, okay? So this is what data analysts and engineers do when they're doing a study. And the difference is, though, is that with our machine learning engine, we can take a data set of, you know, 5, even 10 years of flow data and rain gauge data. And in a matter of seconds, we can identify where the storms were and where the dry weather patterns are.
Yeah.
And it's pretty remarkable. I mean, it's happening. Like, you click the button to get it started. And, you know, by the time you refocus on what you're trying to do, it's done. It's found all your storms and it's identified what's known as a dry weather pattern. Okay. So there's that. I mean, that's just one piece of it, right? So sure. We're identifying patterns. This is what machine learning is really, really, really good at. Once that's done, though, and once we know where the storms are and what represents wet weather and what we know is dry weather, and that's the part where the collection system is operating the way you want it to, that data can then be run through our algorithms, and this is done instantaneously, too, and we can calculate a whole host of key performance indicators, so KPIs that people are interested in. And so what we're looking for, and again, you know, let's not do a deep dive on this, but some of the things that people want to know that we can instantly calculate are instantaneous peaking factor, okay, so where things are, you know, peaking within the storm and the water getting in the system. There's something called RDII, which is rainfall derived INI, and so we calculate that per pipe area. So this is all based on, you know, how many pipes you've got and how much area they take up. The percent of the rain that's entering the system, and so we can calculate just exactly what the percentage of the rain that's coming into the collection system that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. And then there's something called peak INI flow per basin area, and so collection systems are kind of broken into basins. And anyway, all of this gets calculated really, really quick. And again, that's all great, you know, but these are just sort of numbers. And what we do then is that we create a dashboard. And so our clients that would be using something like Infinity would have it's a Google map, if you will.
Okay.
And this map breaks up these basins that I'm talking about. And we create a heat map. And the heat map takes those different KPIs and, you know, based on, you know, just color coding from, you know, green, yellow, orange, and red, shows you where within your system and within your basins areas that need attention.
This is all, like you're saying, so much faster, right? This is this is almost instantaneous information. It's a depth of information that comes quickly and lets them make these decisions about where they need to go to do remediation or other types of work. So they would have this heat map, they'd have this data, they'd have it quick, and yeah, what would they then do? What do they do with it? What does the utility then go and do? I mentioned remediation, but how else could they?
Yeah. You
know, they see a red spot on that dashboard and on their map, and what do they do with that?
Yeah, there's a number of things that they're going to do. And, you know, one is, and there's some really interesting technologies out there for, you know, digging deeper into INI problems. You know, a very common one is CCTV, so closed-circuit television. And actually, it's pretty cool. Is they're basically robots that you send into the sewers with cameras on them. And they're used to inspect the sewers and to look for places where roots have broken through the sewers. And so water gets in that way. Or if there's illegal connections, like, for instance, the downspouts from homes are not supposed to be connected to the sewer system, but in many places they are. And so these cameras can identify that. And, you know, you can't just send these robot cameras all through your collection system all the time. You want to know where to send them, right? And so something like Infinity can tell you, hey, we've got a problem over in this area, this neighborhood, this basin. This is where we need to send the trucks with the robots to go in and do an inspection. And that's just one example. Sure. But, you know, because ultimately what you need to do is that, you know, every city's got limited resources, right? So whether those are financial or the capital equipment that you've got, or it could be just, you know, people that can dig deep into something. And so you have to, you know, on something like INI, you have to decide where are we going to put our time, where are we going to put our effort, so that we can make the most of the limited resources we've got. And so Infinity would help you, would help our clients do that. And if I may, I mean, I just want to also just point out, and you mentioned it, but I want to just sort of underscore it. When the system's in place, it's continuously being updated. And what's interesting for people to understand, and I think people that do this for a living know this intuitively, but your system is constantly changing and it reacts differently to storms, depending on a number of different factors. Like, for instance, there's something called antecedent moisture. And if before a storm, if the soils are already pretty wet, they don't have any real carrying capacity for a new storm. And so that means more water, more storm water could wind up into the sewer system or in other places. But there's just, depending on the time of year and other factors, your system's wet weather response is going to change. So what's cool about taking a machine learning and permanent monitoring approach to this is that you're always looking at continuously updated data. So it's updated to the last storm. If I had this running where I live, which happens to be Kansas City, and we had a storm yesterday, it would be updated up to that storm, up to an hour after the storm, if you will. That's how quickly we can do these things. And that can really inform a city, you know, much better than relying on a study that may have taken place a year or two ago, or in some cases, 3, 4, or 5 years ago.
Yeah, you're really able to know the current conditions and the context for that most recent rainfall. Is it raining on ground that's already pretty darn saturated or so?
That's
forth?
Right.
Yeah, very interesting.
That's right.
You mentioned, you know, the mapping feature of it. And there was something else that you all had done recently that was pretty interesting, also involving CSOs. And I think it was a bit of a public notification system helping the community.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So there's, I mentioned earlier, combined sewer systems. And so there's a number of communities across the United States. They tend to be concentrated in the Northeast, the upper Midwest, and the Washington, Oregon area, but they've got combined sewer systems. And one of the things about combined sewer systems is they've got these bad outcomes called, combined sewer overflows or CSOs. And this year, after several years of, I guess, negotiation, there's something called the Great Lakes Initiative. And this is the EPA and the communities that discharge into the Great Lakes came up with an agreement that there would be a requirement for public notification if combined sewer overflows were taking place. And so these communities had to come up with a way of, if there was a combined sewer overflow, the public somehow needed to be notified. Well, Elkhart, Indiana happened to be a customer of ours, and they reached out to us and they said, hey, we've got this requirement. Can you help us out with this? What can you do for us? And so we built them a system. They already had flow meters in place monitoring these overflows. And we took that data and we brought it in and we created a map. And again, imagine a Google map. and the map has on it identified where all of the overflow potential overflow locations are in Elkhart. And anybody in the public can open this map and see those. And again, they're color coded, and it's basically kind of a green, yellow, red type of a situation. And it's a clickable map, and they can click on any of those points. And if they see that one is red, that means that there's been a recent overflow. And this helps inform the public as to how they might choose to do their recreation on any particular day. So for instance, if, you know, if the family wants to go out and do a picnic or go kayaking, it's certainly a good thing to know if there's been a combined sewer overflow in the body of water where you want to do that. Well, now that's possible. So we provide all the underlying data, and there's a lot more that goes into this agreement with the EPA, but we provide nearly every piece of data that Elkhart needs to comply with this Great Lakes Initiative. And in fact, I'll just go one step further, just to give a shout out to Elkhart. They, this year in the state of Indiana, they won an award, and it's the 2018 Collection System Large Facility Award. And in getting that, and that was from the Indiana Water Environment Association, and getting that, they recognized that this this public notification system that we developed was a big part of the reason that they won this award. So we feel really good about that. But we're mostly excited for our client and the great city of Elkhart for making that possible.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, I know there's a lot of CSO communities out there, especially in the, you know, the Northeast and the Upper Midwest. And I know that public notification piece is becoming an area of emphasis. So that's very cool to hear about that tool. Yeah. You certainly want to stay out of those waters, that's for sure.
You do. That's absolutely the case.
Yeah. You guys, very interesting. What else? What else might be coming up from you all? It sounds like you're really moving fast into this environment with big data and machine learning. What's what might be coming down the pipe?
Yeah. So the interesting thing is, and I mentioned that we've been investing a lot in machine learning, and I've used the word engine, and developing the basic engine or engines for machine learning was the hard and expensive part. And that's what we've been putting a lot of effort into. And so now it makes coming up with the machine learning solutions a bit easier. And so things are going to start to flow a little bit faster. So for instance, we, for a different industry altogether, we developed something called a flood risk forecaster. And it's basically for the mining industry. And if you know anything about mines, they've got something called tailings ponds. And tailings ponds is where they collect basically the wastewater from the mining operations, and it's got heavy metals and, you know, arsenic, and it can have all kinds of nasty things in it. And for liability reasons, so mines, they want to know if they're ever at risk because of wet weather, because of storms, are they at risk of the tailings pond failing and basically poisoning receiving waters. And so we developed a really robust system that can forecast, up to, 7 to 10 days in advance whether they're going to have a problem. And that's out there, and it's being used by clients very successfully. So one of the next things that you'll see us do, though, is adapt that to the urban environment. And what that's going to look like is, let's talk about this public notification system that we created, right? So we've got maps now that can tell you and tell the public where a combined sewer overflow has taken place. The next thing that communities will be able to do, and I expect this will be in the next 6 months or so, maybe 9 months, we'll be able to forecast that. So instead of just telling you that an overflow has taken place, we'll be able to show you a map that forecasts that and says that there's a percentage likelihood that an overflow is going to take place at a specific location. And again, this has got a lot of implications, right? I mean, so one is that on the public side, if a city chooses to share that can help the public know where there may be a problem. But more importantly, I think on the city and the management side, if a city knows that they're going to have an overflow in a particular location, there may be actions that they can take in advance of that to help mitigate that problem. Okay. And so instead of being reactive to something already happening, maybe we can be proactive and do something about it before it actually takes place. I mean, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a game changer when it comes to these overflow events.
Absolutely.
If you can cut back on that or eliminate it, that's huge.
It is. And quite frankly, the biggest challenge in all of this is when I tell people that this is coming, they don't actually believe that it's possible to do this. and it absolutely is. It's fascinating. But
all right.
It's a good place to be. So those are some examples. And that would work for, we'd be able to predict combined sewer overflows, sanitary sewer overflows. We feel like there's a high likelihood that we could even predict basement flooding down to the block level.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's pretty cool. And so we'll be doing pilots of all of these things, in the not too distant future, where we can prove them out in specific places for specific communities. But our confidence level is extremely high based on everything that we've been able to do with data that we've already got.
It's going to be really exciting to see. We'll keep an eye on that for sure. It's clear that big data, machine learning are just transforming the water sector.
Sure.
I'm just kind of curious in bringing the conversation around here, just philosophically, how this changes the water sector and what that means for utilities and so forth. Yeah, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I could go on forever. I'll try to keep it short, because I mean, this is something I'm passionate about, and I have been for years.
Well, it's
and being part of a
fascinating. It's fascinating stuff. I mean, it's fascinating.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. Well, and it's also permeating all parts of our lives too. I mean, we're talking about water sector, and we should be, because this is what our audience is interested in. But I mean, this is changing social media. It's going to change medicine. I mean, we're all eventually we're going to be wearing devices
right.
that aren't even devices. It's just our clothing, and it's going to be monitoring our health on a regular basis. And so that instead of waiting for an annual checkup to find out if there's a problem with our health, we're going to, get an instantaneous report.
Yeah.
And so, and we're moving into, and this is my new mantra, and I've been saying this for a couple of years, but we're moving into an era where everybody monitors everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain parts of your life that might sound scary, okay? And there are privacy issues that you need to deal with. But let's dial that back a little bit, and then we'll zero back in on the water sector. And I'd have to say that it's in the 99.9 percentile where it's all positive. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We're talking about making cities and water systems and wastewater collection systems more efficient. Okay, so what does that mean? So obviously there's the solutions that we talked about. We've got this very technologically forward moving industry that we're in, and we're going to have all these exhibitors at WEFTEC coming up here pretty soon, and there's going to be a lot of I think people talking about big data there. But there's this amazing amount of data that already exists out there.
Mm.
And most cities, most utilities have been monitoring for very specific reasons. And let's just say maybe it's for billing, okay? But that's a treasure trove of information that's there. And there's sometimes something called metadata that comes along with the main data that they're looking at, that if you turn a machine learning algorithm onto it, patterns can be discovered that nobody knew existed before. And there's a lot of things you can do once you understand that those patterns exist. And it really has to do with, efficiencies, increasing safety, knowing where to put resources and when. And then when you get into the really sophisticated things like we're talking about doing with predictive analytics, being able to know 7 to 10 days in advance of some type of a weather event where resources need to be placed or how things might have to be adjusted to allow for that. And that's a big, big thing. And it's going to start happening really, really quickly. I mean, this isn't like 20 years from now. This is like, just on this accelerating curve. And it's all about adoption, of course. And this industry is known to be a bit conservative when it comes to technology, and for good reason. I mean, it's, you don't want to just turn all your valves over to and the operation of them to a machine, and you don't understand what the algorithm is doing. But
sure.
Again, the beauty here, though, is that because there's so much data that's already out there, there's a lot that machine learning can do with historic data to help people understand their system. And so you can run these routines and, you know, without actually controlling anything or making any type of command decisions to find these patterns and understand what's happening in your system. And so it's a good way for a city to dip its toe in the water is to work with a company like ours and say, hey, let's tackle this 5 years of flow and rain data that I've gotten. Let's try to understand what's happening in the system a little bit better. And when they get the confidence from that, then that can start to be something that they use on a go forward basis to where all of these calculations are taking place in real time and helping inform their decisions.
Very interesting stuff. It's exciting. And like you said, it's happening so quickly. And it's kind of that exponential curve of technology in our lives. So
Yeah.
Kevin, I appreciate the conversation. Really informative, really interesting. I think that a lot of listeners are excited about big data, excited about machine learning, and are seeing it more and more at conferences they go to, like WEFTEC. And so I hope that they have a chance to come by your booth there at WEFTEC and learn about Infinity and learn about the other tools you all have and talk with you philosophically about these issues too. So
I'd love to do that, Travis, and I appreciate that. And I'll just put the plug in. We are at booth 2909 at WEFTEC this year. And yes, we'll be running Infinity. We'll be showing it live. We'll also be able to talk about the coming solutions. And I like talking philosophically with people about this. I mean, even if there's no need for any of the solutions that we're creating, I know a lot of people in this industry. And if you want to come by and just chat about machine learning and, you know, what my vision for it is and maybe what your vision for it is. And just because it's good to talk about things like that, I'd love to do that.
Cool. Well, I will swing by your booth and take a look at the tool. I'm interested to see the dashboard and all that. So thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks so much for the chat. Enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Travis. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Flowworks. Flowworks is a powerful web-based suite of monitoring, analysis, and reporting tools, enabling you to efficiently manage all of your monitoring systems. Perform real-time analysis, check flow monitoring status, and set alarms through a single interface. Flowworks lets you transform raw data into actionable information. Their platform accepts all types of data from any source: real-time, historic, wireless, satellite, SCADA, public data sets including USGS, NOAA, and weather forecasts. It doesn't matter where the data originates. With their customized cloud storage and machine learning enhanced features, Flowworks has the flexibility and scalability to help you grow your monitoring network and get more value from your data. Visit them online at flowworks.com.
Words on Water.